Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline of Yahoo Sports. It's Frank Schwab. Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. So Jimmy Haslam says 6 weeks ago, we're not going to force it at quarterback. When you look at the quarterback room, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel in the late third, Shador in the middle of the fifth round, would you agree that the Browns did or did not force it at quarterback?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, the most valuable asset they've given up all offseason in the quarterback room is the third-round pick for Dylan Gabriel. And if that turns out to be a waste, that's going to stink. Like, you don't want to waste top 100 picks. I think he was 90 overall. So that would be unfortunate. But I think this is a new way NFL teams are going to look at the quarterback position. And I think the Atlanta Falcons of last year are going to have a big influence on that. To the point of, yeah, the rest of the NFL might make fun of you for, oh, you already had Kirk Cousins. How could you draft Michael Penix? Well, the Falcons look pretty smart right now for doing that, right? Because turns out that they were completely wrong about Cousins, which happens when you're talking about signing quarterbacks, drafting quarterbacks, whatever. And so I think the Browns are just saying, we don't care if it's going to be awkward in the quarterback room. We don't care about anybody's feelings. We don't even care if the rest of the NFL is going to laugh at us if we blew a third-round pick on Dylan Gabriel or we shouldn't have traded a fifth for Kenny Pickett. We just want to get the answer right at the end of the day. And if one of these guys, and it's probably not going to be Flacco, other than maybe a year, if Pickett or, you know, if Pickett has a revival like a Sam Darnold, which I don't necessarily think is going to happen, but you never know, I didn't think it happened with Darnold either. Or if Dylan Gabriel's as good as he was in college, really good quarterback, or Shador plays up to that, you know, the thought that he should have been a first-round pick a couple days ago, then who cares how you got there? You found your quarterback. You got the right answer on the test. So I don't mind it at all. Pour a bunch of resources into quarterback. It's the most important position in all of sports. And it's just dumb to me that so many NFL teams just refuse to think of anything creative when it comes to the quarterback position.
When it was Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, I think a lot of us just kind of thought, well, all right, we can't really even judge Kevin Stefanski, though. We'll judge him on the 2026 quarterback. Now, adding Dylan Gabriel, adding Shador in the mix, is it okay to now judge Stefanski based off of having what is essentially one really old veteran quarterback and three quarterbacks that you maybe should be able to do something with if you're Stefanski?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think – I mean, at the end of the day, I think all these quarterbacks are low percentage to hit, to be honest. I think Stefanski's a good coach. I don't think he's the problem there. I just think the problem is the guy, you know, who he didn't even mention being part of the quarterback room is making $230 million guaranteed or whatever. I mean, that sunk the whole franchise, and it probably did for the next 5-10 years. Like, it's one of the most catastrophic trades in NFL history. So I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski would fix anything. I just think that – they need to figure out the quarterback situation, whether it's one of these guys in this room, or they just say, you know what, okay, we got the first pick. Arch Manning's in this draft. We haven't invested anything seriously into these other guys. Let's just draft a guy. So you could totally do that. Or move up. You got extra draft capital now to move up if somebody's willing to trade down. So I don't think this is going to be some make or break. It shouldn't, to me anyway, it shouldn't be some make or break here for Stefanski. I mean, he got this team to the playoffs last 2 years ago with Joe Flacco. I mean, who in every other season recently has looked absolutely cooked. So I just think he's not the problem. I get fans get impatient. You haven't won anything. But I look at this, and I just don't think firing Stefanski would do anything other than appease fans who haven't seen enough winning lately, which I do get. I get the impatience, but I think they got a good coach. They just need to figure out the quarterback situation.
Frank, is winning the main objective for the Browns in 2025, or is there something else that's the main objective?
I don't think so. I mean, I just, again, this, and I know none of you guys want to talk about him, but, I mean, Deshaun Watson pretty much set the franchise back so far that you can't sit here and say, yeah, we're going to compete with the Ravens and the Steelers and the Bengals. Like, that's just, it's honestly unrealistic. And I think they were self-aware enough to know that when they traded back to get the extra picks from the Jaguars, which I didn't mind that trade from either side. I think the Jaguars were fine to get aggressive, to get as kind of a generational guy. I think the Browns were smart to pick up the extra draft capital. I think it's going to take a while now. And it just stinks because the Browns set themselves up so well. We make fun of the process all the time, right? Like the process. But there were so many years in there where the Browns had so many picks, all this cap room. They were set up really well, and they were building a really great roster, and they completely screwed it up with one really, really bad trade. So is the objective to win now? It's always to win. You always want to win. I mean, these guys in that locker room want to win. Like, the coaches want to win because, like you said, I mean, who knows? If it's 2-15 this year and Haslam gets impatient, Stefanski's gone. Like, it's just kind of the way it is in the NFL. So the objective is always to win. But I think realistically, if you're the Browns, you're looking at this as a 3-4 year type of thing where at the end of the day, you know, maybe Mason Graham is turned into the next all pro defensive tackle. And you figure maybe, you know, whoever it is, Nussmeier is your quarterback of the future, or you get next year out of the draft. And it just, I just don't think this year is really realistic for the Browns to be competitive.
All right. Let me ask you about Shador. Let me ask you about him versus Dillon Gabriel. How do you see that competition? If it's those two to maybe come out and start after Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco?
Yeah, no, I've always liked Shador. It's probably because I'm based in Colorado, and I saw how bad and off the radar Colorado football was for 2.5 decades. And he came in with his dad, and obviously Travis Hunter, too, and an influx of talent, and they really raised the profile of that program immediately. So I've always liked him as a quarterback. Look, does he have to be a little more professional? I think he'd have to say yes. I mean, the stuff about the meeting with the Giants and all that, like, it's just not a good reflection on him at all. But I still think the talent's there. I still think he's a very tough, accurate quarterback who can be a good, solid starting NFL quarterback. I do. And I don't know if I'm Shador. If I look around at the rest of that quarterback room and I'm intimidated by Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, or Dillon Gabriel, really, I just say, okay, I can beat these guys out. But it's gotta be a somewhat of a wake up call for him that he comes in and basically acts like a professional and kind of takes this competition to heart and takes it by the horns and does something with it. Now, I think Gabriel's a good quarterback, too. A lot of people liked him. I didn't mind the Browns taking a shot on him, and I could see him emerging. But, yeah, if I'm any of those guys, I look at Joe Flacco, and I say, I could beat this guy out. Like, he should be in a wheelchair at this point. Like, he's just – I get he had some magical run 2 years ago, but I don't think that's coming back. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's fine. But I think any of these guys, Pickett included, should go into training camp saying, I can win the starting job. You're not investing that much time and worried about the feelings of a 40-year-old quarterback. So I think that all these guys, including Shador, have a good chance to kind of emerge in camp. Maybe not as a week one starter, but a guy who, okay, we're 0-4 at the end of September. Let's turn the page and who's next.
Frank Schwab on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Should we base our expectations for Shador this year and beyond based off of where he was drafted in the fifth round or where he was supposed to be drafted, where maybe his talent says he should have been drafted?
Yeah, and I think it's best to just say, you know, what do they have invested in him? A fifth round pick. Anything he provides at that spot is absolute gravy for the Browns. Like if he starts a few games and isn't a complete failure like DTR or anything, then I think you look at that and you say, oh, pretty good fifth round pick. Why not? Like, and if he does hit the absolute ceiling where he does become the, I don't know, 16th best quarterback in the NFL, I think that you'd look at that as just almost hitting a lottery. I mean, how often does that happen for a fifth round pick? So I think it's just based on where he was drafted because the Browns, look, they have nothing else invested in him. It's just a fifth round pick. And if he never plays a game for the Browns, okay, well, that happens with a lot of fifth-round picks in any position. So, I mean, where he should have gone in the draft, where he did go in the draft, I don't think where he should have gone matters anymore. It's where he did go, and a fifth-round pick is you know, what percentage chance does that hit at any position? It's pretty low. So I think that should be the expectation for Shadour.
Do you think Nick Chubb has any gas left in the tank?
I like, he's so likable. I really root for the guy. I mean, you watch him lift weights, and it's like, I mean, you watch those clips, and you're like, how does a human body even do that? Like, he is just absolutely a beast. And he's the kind of guy who, I get that they drafted two running backs, and I thought both picks were really smart. Like, actually, I think both of those running backs are really good. But he's just kind of the guy you want in your locker room. Like, right? Like, he's such a hard worker, good leader, good example for everybody else. He's handled adversity so well that even if you signed him to the roster and he got 80 carries all season, okay, that's fine, because he's having a team that's skewing younger, or will skew younger the next couple of years. I think he's having a positive impact. Do I think he's ever going to rush for 1,000 again? Probably not. But I just root for him. So I can't even answer it honestly, because I just think he's so likable. His story is so inspirational. I want Nick Chubb to still be a part of the NFL and a part of our lives on Sunday, and making an impact on the field, because his whole career has just been set back, and he overcomes it. And I just have the ultimate respect for that guy.
Frank, when it comes to Travis Hunter down yonder in Jacksonville, is the Offensive Rookie of the Year award more likely, or is the Defensive Rookie of the Year award more likely?
I mean, it's so amazing that I can actually answer it. Like, any other prospect in history, I'd have been like, oh, these guys are nuts, I'm hanging up. With him, I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, Andrew Berry obviously made the comparison to Ohtani, and I think that's perfectly relevant. He's something we've never seen before. And I think the Offensive Rookie of the Year is more likely, because it just sounds like Jacksonville's more into it on that side of the ball. They say he's primarily going to be primarily going to start off at that position, at receiver. And I think, when a guy is compared to Chad Johnson on offense and Champ Bailey on defense, like, what are we doing? Like, that's unbelievable to me. I don't think he's going to win both, but I can't sit here and say he won't either. That's how incredible he is. I hope Jacksonville absolutely lets him cook. I just give him as many plays as he wants, because, yeah, we can sit here and say it's never been done before. But you know what? I've never seen a two-way player win Heisman Trophy either. Like, he's just already broken the mold of what we thought is possible. So I just want to see him do it all. I just think he's built different. He's going to be so much fun to watch this year.
Frank, I saw you had a piece out there at Yahoo Sports, obviously, and you said, who had the best and the worst off-seasons. You're actually really friendly to the Browns. You gave them the 10th-ranked off-season, which is really nice. But you had... If memory serves me right, the Bengals, I believe you gave a C2 when they were in the 20s, and the Steelers also with a C at 21. What happened to both those franchises this offseason to not get this turned around?
Yeah, and I think it's just unanswered questions for both of those teams. With the Bengals, it's like, it's great to re-sign T. Higgins. I thought that was the right move. It's a little unconventional to pay two guys that much, but it's unconventional to have two guys that good. So pay them. But they basically come back with the same roster that didn't make the playoffs last year. They didn't really fix a defense that held them back. That, it is really, really, really hard to get an MVP-level season from a quarterback and not make the playoffs. And it's malpractice not to make the playoffs. But how are they better this year? I don't get it. Like, I just don't think they added enough on defense to where there's a turnaround there. And the Steelers, it's obvious. It's quarterback. Like, who's their quarterback on opening day? As long as the answer is Mason Rudolph, I was probably too nice to them in rankings. I kind of assumed that Aaron Rodgers is going to show up, but I think there's got to be questions now about how much Aaron Rodgers is really into it, because of the stuff going on off the field. I get it. I'm not dunking on a guy or anything, but if I'm the Steelers, I'm not exactly comforted by how Aaron Rodgers is kind of going about this offseason and wondering if he's really all in on football. So I just think unanswered questions for those two teams makes it a really tough offseason to get too excited about.
Frank, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time, and enjoy the NFL dead zone here once we get the schedule out there. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, I appreciate it.
Frank Schwab there, Yahoo Sports in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to him saying a 3-4 year thing for the Browns and two Cleveland heavyweights. Weigh in on Shadour to the Browns. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. When he says 3-4 years, that's just not... If this thing takes 3-4 years, which includes if we just start it this year, then quite frankly, the Browns organization has been a catastrophic failure.
Yeah, and well, I mean, at that point, I'm not going to say Andrew Berry would have lied to us, but Andrew Berry's whole big push this entire time is this doesn't take forever. Like his words, not mine, well, about the five-year plan not being a thing they have to really adhere to. So I just don't think they're approaching it that way.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Like, again, I can't definitively say it won't take 3 to 4 years because they haven't drafted well enough or developed well enough for me to say, oh, that's an insulting thing.
Well, should we talk timelines for a second, too, and what 3 to 4 years means? Does 3 to 4 years means that you're competitive? Does it mean it's a deep postseason team? What does 3 to 4 years actually mean?
I think he's saying 3 to 4 years till competitive, and that's not how the NFL works.
Because if you want to make a case 3 to 4 years until you're like a deep postseason team, still, but even if you hit on the quarterback, none of that matters. You can do this so much quicker than you have to.
Teams that get mired in the muck of the NFL, where the Browns have been, it is a choice. And usually that choice is derived from choices like running through head coaches over a short amount of time, running through philosophies. As a matter of fact, I think the Browns, the unspoken thing we have not talked nearly enough about is the impact of having to go from Sashi Brown to John Dorsey to back to an analytics focus with Andrew Berry in 4 years. Like, those were three different philosophies, even if Andrew was part of the first one. Like, that's every time you're churning the roster in a way that starts to hurt your ability to contend long term. That plus bad drafting by this iteration of the Browns has gotten you where you are.
Well, I mean, Schwab just wanted to point to Deshaun. And I told you before we did the interview, I think Frank Schwab, when it comes to his preseason previews, it's the best thing in the NFL. Like, he's very, very good at his job. But it sounded like he had a thing against Deshaun and wanted to almost punish the Browns as if they need to be in jail of sorts for so many years.
5 to 10 years.
He said 5 to 10 years, which is just not, it's just not anything you have to live by.
And again, if it
does. Deshaun didn't help. I'm not saying it did. It hurts you in a massive way, but it's not 5 to 10 years.
You can't say, like, listen, if let's say 7 years from now, the Browns have just never gotten back to consistent. Let's just say they're consistently mired where they were when Haslam first bought the team. 3-14, 4-13, 5-12, right? We will look at Deshaun as the turning point, in the turning point for the backslide of what this thing has become. But it's going to be so much deeper than just, well, you traded for Deshaun.
No, more likely than not, it'll be you set it all up for the 2026 quarterback class, and then you whiffed there.
This should be this is pretty cut and dry. This year is the poison pill. This is the year where winning is not the main objective. None of us love that, by the way. None of us has to love this. It stinks. It sucks to be a fan where you go into a season and you know, yeah, 3-14 might be one of the more likely outcomes, and six or seven wins would be doubling your win total from last year. It also might take you out of the quarterback race this next year. Those things, saying them out loud, are not pleasurable things to say, but we do have to be realistic about where they are, but we can't be doing the same thing a year from now. Like, once you get the quarterback, it's going to be like, okay, let's say you won 3 games this year. All right, we're going to need 6 or 7 next year. And then the year after that is when we're expecting to be in the periphery of the playoffs. And a year after that is when you're in contention for the playoffs every year after.
And that's a generous New England Drake May type timeline, too. You know what I mean? That's not Jaden Daniels. Yep. That is not, we need instant success or else we're going to be mad about it. And what are we doing here? That is a generous timeline.
Now, Fedor is actually going to be joining us at 4:20 today. Just got the update from Jake Murren. We will talk about the Darius Garland update, though, coming up to start the 4 o'clock hour. But the rain delay is back on, and now it's a 2-2 game.
John Kenzie is slipping and sliding out there.
I mean, you put a big man out in the field, and
turned it into a super slide.
It's just
out
not
there.
Even fair. Like that's gonna be everybody's. Like, everybody's gonna use that to justify bleeping all over my dude, Junkie Donk, John Kenzie Noel, Big Christmas.
A 450-foot home run isn't good enough.
Yeah. You're right. He almost hit it to the scoreboard, but let's send him to AAA. I'm upset. I'm incensed now.
I know.
However,
it did look AAA though. I mean,
it was not great.
It looked 12-year-old. That's not even.
It just rained. It was slick.
I know.
He's a big man.
Your guy, Will Wilson, he fell. And then the next play, John Kenzie fell.
Us big folks are not built to be out there playing the field in post-rain conditions.
It's funny, too, because he fell. And then he gave a look to quit. Who's playing center field today? I don't even know.
Isn't it Schneeman?
Is it Schneeman? He gave a look to Schneeman like, that's your ball now. Yeah. you're gonna go get that.
Well, that was just before the rain delay. They almost collided in center field as well, right center field. So while we're on the topic of the Browns' plan, there's a lot of that that sounded punitive. If it takes 3 to 4 years, it's because the Browns failed really bad over the next year or two, and then that caused them to be replaced, them being Berry and Stefanski. But On the topic of Shador Sanders, the Kelce brothers, at least one of them, like Shador in Cleveland. This is on the New Heights podcast.
God, I love this for Cleveland. I really do, man. The Browns fan deep down in my heart is just like, yeah.
A lot of anonymous reports prior to the draft that his team interviews
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Went poorly.
I think whoever's the f***ing anonymous person that's saying this should come out and say who they were and what.
Say it with your chest.
Like, what's that about? I'm not sure why he dropped, whether it was the interviews or whether it was stuff that they saw on film. What I saw on film, I thought he was.
Wait, stop! Stop it
right
there. Stop it. What was he gonna say it with your chest?
Ah,
is that him mocking you, mocking Ken, or is it him mocking Ken?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume it's him mocking Ken.
Mac, what's your read on this? Because he did say it exactly how
100 Cleveland men.
He did say it exactly
if he says
how.
That, if he says that, then we know he's mocking Ken.
He did say it exactly how.
How you
I
say
mock
it? He
Ken.
Says it how you say it.
So it'd be weird to mock somebody mocking somebody, but you can't put it past anyone.
It makes way more sense to me that Jason Kelce heard you
he
mocking him
up on the bit?
In the previous week or so, and that's what he was doing there.
So wait, is he picking up on the bit, or is he mocking me?
I think he's picking up on the bit.
Okay,
because when Ken says it, Ken does it. The way Ken does it, and he says it way different than when you do it, and you're mocking him, and then that was exactly how you do it.
Okay. All right. So thanks, Trav and Jason, for listening
Kelce's
to us.
Kelce's clearly listening and paying attention here. What other way would he have gotten that?
That's true.
It's a common term, but not doing it the way that you do it.
That is fair. Because I was going to say it's kind of like the give them their flowers. Like, that's a very common thing.
You put and I don't want to do this because he's the marble mouth of Crawford County, whatever. But you say it like you have marbles in your mouth. When you do it,
say it with a chest.
And it's also kind of got a little bit of a
little bit of Batman.
Well, Batman meets maybe the eldest in Succession as well. Like, it's got it's a nice combo to it, and that's exactly what Jason Kelce sounded like.
Can we extrapolate? There's a big ask for Mac because I realize we're asking him to do this on the fly. Can we extrapolate just the say it with your chest? Because the only way I'd be really convinced if he had said say it with your chest, say it with conviction.
Well, that would have been a little...
It would be two on the nose?
It might already be two on the nose.
Because usually it's a call and response with me and you where I go, say it with your chest, and then you go, say it with your chest.
You've been doing it for a week and a half, 2 weeks now. It's in people's brains. We've never heard either Kelce do that at all. I'm convinced.
Or, okay, Now, this is fairly likely.
And shout out Jason Kelsey. Appreciate you.
Did Ken Steele say it with your chest from them? And then it's just happenstance. Does he say it like that? And then me mocking
now
Ken.
There's a thought I hadn't considered.
Yeah.
Because.
Let's hear it one more time, though.
Say it with your chest.
Like what?
He kind of says it like Mario, though.
Less marbles in his mouth.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest.
Like what?
But same anger. Same anger
say
there.
Say it with your chest.
Because real men say it with their chest. That's
if he's
what
been doing this bit for like 3 months and that's where Ken got it from, that won't surprise me, but it'll be a development.
Right. I need 100 Cleveland men.
216-474-0092. I tend to go the most likely answer is the right answer. Like it's more likely that Ken is taking this from Jason Kelsey. And then I just happen to be mocking Ken taking it from Jason Kelsey
in
a way that sounds like Jason Kelsey saying it.
In turn, every time you mock Ken now, you are mocking Jason Kelsey, which we don't want to do.
That's fine. He can get astray.
What? Okay. Say it with your chest.
Like, what?
Listen, there's going to be collateral damage in every beef. If that's Jason Kelsey, I'll say it with my chest.
I haven't heard the Kelsey brothers
with your
do it.
Chest.
Like, what is?
I haven't heard them do it. I think they're picking up on you saying it for the previous couple weeks, and that's what we're going with.
They'd get number one ratings, just saying. Mm-hmm. Two of those guys were the Kelsey brothers. So as we say it with our chest, how do I feel about that?
Say it with conviction. That they like Shador?
You said it much more like, mine's much more angrier. Yours was like almost dismissive of like, say it with conviction.
I didn't want to ham it up right now. I wanted to get to the actual.
Oh, you didn't want to ham it up?
I didn't want to ham it up.
The guy who lost his voice with the laugh, you didn't
want
it?
That's the problem. I got this little cough right now. I mean, I don't know how it would go out. Nothing's worse than trying to start a bit or do something and while also playing with a little bit of a cough and it just not going the way that you want it to go. That's, for $1 million, I don't think I could do that laugh right now.
Perhaps you should not say it with your chest.
Not for $1 million. Am I happy that they're behind Shador? I am. I do think everything we laid out, though, is I think we have to have the proper context attached to Shador. So we expect him to go ahead and do everything and be everything while also understanding that this team isn't putting out a very competitive football team to begin with. Like, if this was your rookie quarterback in 2026 and this was the roster you put out with him, no one would have high, lofty expectations, yet we put that on Shador?
I think the really tough thing is what Frank Schwab said is right, which is that quite honestly, we should be grading Shador as a fifth round pick. Anything you get out of him this year is going to be like cherry on top.
Also,
the problem is we're not going to do that.
Grading him and also grading him on the curve that is, it's a fifth round pick on a bad football team. It's not a fifth-round pick going to the 49ers, or in Brock Purdy's case, a seventh-round pick, and saying, here's a real chance. This doesn't feel like he's got that great of a chance for success to begin with.
I mean,
it would be a true turning over a franchise, lifting everyone up moment if he was able to actually do something and accomplish something
this
season.
Maybe we should expand that. Like, if Shador, over the course of the summer, takes the job, and then this is a 7-10 team, where at the end of the season, you know he's the starter going forward, like, is that turning over the franchise kind of like you're saying?
I think this team winning 7 games gives you a lot of hope that if you put the right pieces around him, you can win way more than 7 games, especially if he does it in his rookie season. But like, what was the one thing I kept telling you throughout the entire draft process that you agreed to? Was the idea that Shador needs to find himself in a good spot, in a good place with good weapons around him. He doesn't really have that here.
Here's the thing. I think you and I are trying to think very logically about Shador. Logic goes out the window with this kid. And I don't mean with him personally. I mean with how people talk about him. We joked about the Russian bot farmers who were like dive bombing the mentions on him talking to a local high school 4 days after being drafted by the Browns. That's going to be the case with everything. Like, the one reason why none of us should want Shador to start is, unless it's absolutely incredible or absolutely awful, any in between, we are going to be in a sea of ass clowns, either clowning this kid or standing for this kid. Like, that's the only downside I can see. This season is going to be tedious with a lack of winning anyways, the potential lack of winning. You add the noise around Shador, if he's a fifth rounder that plays like a fifth rounder, or if he's a fifth rounder that plays like a first rounder, anything in between there. is going to be incredibly tedious. I'm not holding that against a kid. I'm just saying, like,
sure,
that is that people are going to do one of the extremes.
And I just wish people had the recognition. You could put on really good quarterbacks, like solidified good quarterbacks on this roster, and the way it's set up right now, they're not winning many games.
But I don't think that's the bar. I don't think the bar for whatever rookie or even Kenny Pickett takes this job. I think it's just about winning. I think it's about taking that hope and excitement that you felt when they drafted Shador, and then taking that into like justifiable hope by their play.
Kind of like what he did in year one at Colorado then, where they didn't win many games. They won three. It's not like they won a ton, but after they won those games and the way that he played, there was enough hope instilled that the next year he'd be able to win something like nine like he did.
Yeah, you definitely have to win more than three or four games, though. You gotta win closer to six or seven games.
Wins or losses.
Well, no. That's to a degree.
I mean, again, Drake May. We brought him up how many times now? Drake May didn't win many games last year, but
he was the number three pick in last year's draft,
and the hope was instilled though. But he did it with a really bad roster. Was the point? That's why he got so much credit for not winning a lot of games. He did it with a really bad roster. But I think the idea that this roster is set up for Shador in any sort of way to look his very best. I mean, come on, guys. Let's be honest about it.
216-474-0092. Captain Bobby Bull saying, "Say it with your chest" is not a Ken original. This is directly taken from a Kevin Hart bit. Wow.
Kevin Hart?
Oof. That's who we're stealing bits from?
Kevin Hart?
I mean, I need 100 Cleveland men.
We're taking it from the Trailer Park Boys or from Letterkenny. I got that. But Kevin Hart?
Another Oompa Loompa?
Say it with your chest. Maybe Ken likes Oompa Loompas. Dylan Gabriel, does he like Dylan Gabriel?
We got to investigate.
216.
I need 100 Cleveland men.
474. That's the fifth time you've played that in this segment, Mac. 216-474-0092.
Mac just shakes his head in the funniest way. He was so defeated by that.
I didn't mean to defeat you. Sorry about that, Wheezy. Early signs of a compromise between Shador and the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I started following this guy yesterday, and I put like the notifications on, and within maybe about 2 hours or so, I was like, oh, that was a bad idea. Like, I thought it'd be good for content, just like figuring out like where Shador was and what he was doing, because this is stalking him, as it's known. Just whatever he posts up on Twitter. Call it what you and Daryl want to call it. I just call it paying attention.
Wait. Earlier.
What?
Earlier.
What?
The
is it not paying
attention? That's when we put something in front of it. To make it Shador-based, but when it's your habits, all of a sudden we don't do that? I'm noticing an interesting trend there.
No, you can call it shestalking. I'm going to say it's a wrong use of shestalking, in my opinion.
Well, how would you refer to it then?
Doing my job is how I refer to it.
Not in the name of everything that is holy, that's not great branding.
I think that's how I do it. Okay?
I think we can button that up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we nailed it. So this guy he's been posting all these things. He is claimed to be basically everything and anything when it comes to Shador and even Travis Hunter in their daily lives. But he is the one that is posting all the videos of Shador running the hills in Akron and then going to the school and doing all the different things that he's doing. And just like everyone else before him, it feels like they've all just found some way to kind of get after the Cleveland media in some way.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with this specifically, because like if you have a problem, I don't understand this world in which people lived in that Shador, who lives a very online life, you thought that was going to stop when he got to the NFL. I understand when football players say,
"Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay, well, like Brian Hoyer says it. I get why Brian Hoyer thinks that's going to happen. It's a different era. It's not going to happen. All right, Shador and the Sanders family in general, a lot. They always have a TV crew around them. They always have this, they always have that. So do I think that the Browns are going to try and limit that contact as much as possible? Yes, but you can't limit it when Shador's out in the world. Like, right. Why do you think he was at a Cleveland gym that wasn't the Cleveland Browns' own gym? So he could have his camera crew there. Why do you, like, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, it's definitely going to be louder than Dylan Gabriel's life, but like, you drafted Shador. This is who Shador is. I think picking a fight about it today is ridiculous.
Well,
I mean anybody else criticizing Shador for being very online.
And so where I thought the one member of Shador's camp actually, I think he makes a really good point, is the idea of it's like Shador's not the one taking any of these photographs or these videos. He's like, I'm the one doing this, and I put all this out there. And like, it's like, yeah, I don't know who the directive comes from, but like, how does this limit Shador into doing the very best thing he can do for the Browns? It's not taking away any of his mental capacity or even time. He's not the one editing these videos and putting them out there. He's not the one taking these videos and putting them out there.
I'm sure. I think everybody in Cleveland media has heard something adjacent to this, that the Browns are going to try and keep Shador low-key, right?
Good luck.
We'll see how many times he's made available for press during the quarterback camp. There's a lot of ways in which they can try and just tamper down any of the noise around it, at which point, again, I'll go back to what you said, which is good luck. Like, you can't, like, if he wants to live an online life, it is his choice. And when you drafted him, you did co-sign that choice to some degree. So you cannot put him out there in front of the media. That's fine. But then also don't enjoy all those jersey sales that you're getting from this as well. Like, it's a little bit of trying to have your cake and eat it too. Good luck. I think it's going to drive Kevin crazy. Good luck.
But this isn't harmless stuff, though, is the difference. Or excuse me, this is harmless stuff. This isn't him. Well, now, you want to talk about him like posting the party photos after the draft night and carrying around millions of dollars in briefcases and stuff like that? Okay, I can hear you out on that. But when he's posting workout videos and when he's posting videos of him trying to win a quarterback job, shouldn't that just get you excited about the team in the upcoming season?
And here's the thing.
Like, he cares. That's all we wanted anyway, right?
Guys, he's a 22-year-old millionaire.
Yeah, there's 22-year-olds we know that post way more than Shador online, and they don't have half of an interesting life of him.
I just, like, listen, I like when we had that stretch with James Harden where James Harden would, it was like the Learjet with the million-dollar suitcase, and that stuff never appealed to me because I don't like ridiculous displays of wealth. But at the same point,
are you talking when he got his jersey retired at a Houston strip club?
I think there was something along the lines.
Put to the rafters of a strip club?
I can't
club?
Remember the rapper that he gave like a duffel bag with like $250,000. Like, those are things that don't reach me personally. And then I go, oh, it has nothing to do with me. That's not the kind of life I live. Good for him. And then I move on.
Yeah. When you're not breaking any laws, like, and it's everything's fine. Who cares?
And here's the thing. Like, if Shador is... This is because the criticism is you're not about football. It's gonna hurt your football career. Okay, then if that bears fruit, then you at some point in the distant future you get to say I was right. But quite frankly, like you can't, like you're being part of the distraction with Shador if you have a problem with it. Like, you're making it a bigger issue than his camp is.
Right. And by all accounts, it's not, again, he's not editing these videos. He's not doing anything attached to it. And even if he was, okay, so you're gonna gatekeep his hobbies? Is that what you're gonna do? So, like, when Myles Garrett likes dinosaurs, you celebrate that and you put the little dinosaurs out on the press conference table. But if Shedeur Sanders takes an interest in video editing, that's a problem?
Wait, would you put out, like, little Adobe kits out there?
Adobe kits? For, that might be too expensive.
That's true. Or, like, maybe cupcakes with, like, a microphone in them?
Yeah, I just think it's just an odd thing. Like, people care that he's trying to showcase how hard he's working.
And
I should be happy that he's doing two-a-days right now.
It all kind of started with, like, some level of criticism for Shedeur. And listen, I've made it clear that I'm not convinced he has the talent to be a star. I think he has the talent to be a good NFL quarterback, but we'll see. Like, he fell in the draft for a reason. There were a lot of excuses for it. There were a lot of excuses against it. We'll see. I'm excited to see what the kid does. But just, like, the kid was at a high school 4 days after being drafted. And he, like, I don't give a damn if he has the entire national media there. Because the thing that he's doing is still making a difference.
Yeah.
Like, when he shows up somewhere, he has cachet that Dylan Gabriel doesn't. No offense to Dylan. But he has some cachet there that means something.
Oh, Dylan walks in the high school and they go, oh, are you the new sub teacher? Are you teaching fifth grade?
Are you the new mascot because you're short?
You're going to roll out the video for us?
But no, it feels very personal against Dylan. Dylan, this is not about you. It's not your fault, Dylan. Not your fault.
Yeah, you keep telling him that.
But
Goodwill Hunting.
But no, it really is, like, to me, like, focusing on the wrong thing. If Shedeur makes one bit of difference for one kid in that crowd, I could give a rip how many people are taking pictures and and if he does that, if once a day he goes to some local high school, wherever it is, whether it's up here in Cleveland, whether it's in the greater Northeast Ohio region, I don't care. Because it means something to somebody in that crowd.
Right. You want to call, hey, let's call him Football Santa Claus. He's just bringing joy all around the city.
I get it. It's low-hanging fruit, and it's easy. It's right there. But, like, and because here's what's going to happen is now, people are going to see his guy, Boog, and we'll just, I don't know his full name.
I was going with Boog, but I like that you went with Boog.
I'm thinking Boog Powell, because I'm 100. So Boog, is it Boog? Boog?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It is his guy, though. That is his guy. He's very about making sure that people know what's going on.
Somebody's now going to have a problem with his guy now going and defending Shedeur. And it's like, okay.
Oh,
man.
But that also, too, that's not Shedeur himself doing it either. That's another thing.
But,
like,
even then.
And this isn't even like the weird thing, like when Roger Goodell had his wife go online and try to fight some of his battles for him. Like, sometimes that happens. Family members end up being the ones that fight the battles for you. And you're like, that clearly was coming from someone else. That's not what this is.
This isn't a certain quarterback who wanted to rehab his image by paying people to say nice things about him on social media, allegedly. All right? Like, this is so far derived from that. And we don't have to be sensitive because of everything that came before, either with Baker or with Deshaun Watson. Do I know the kid's going to be the starting quarterback this year? No. Do I know he's going to be a great NFL quarterback? No. But if 3 days into the Shedeur experience, you're bitching about videos being out there, whether it's because of where he was, or guys, then you didn't know what you were getting into when you drafted Shedeur Sanders.
And you also don't know how any franchise quarterback operates. If you're a franchise quarterback, you're supposed to go to the local high schools. You're supposed to be doing two-a-days. You're supposed to be working hard.
Should the Browns shut down Shedeur's camera crew? Should we shut it down? Did Kevin Hart say that too? Darius Garland, the update coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.